From Frampton Comes Alive. All right, you all knew it was coming. Do you really think I was going to finish out this list without talking about Do You Feel Like We Do? The song is the crown jewel of Frampton's classic live album, mostly because it's a phenomenal song, a fact that's commonly drowned out by the near infamous Do You Feel Like We Do talkbox moment. Who can blame us? Frampton literally increased the vocabulary of the guitar by successfully making his guitar ask a question through the talkbox. Now, it doesn't get any better than that. What's your favorite talkbox moment?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stand By Your Band. This is the podcast where we talk about music people get a little guff for liking. And I am Tom Takar, the Wolf of Dog Street, and joined once again by the Prince of Snarkness himself, Tommy McNamara. How are you, buddy?
I don't think podcasting gets any better than this.
Can't find a better pod. How's that? Is that something?
Yeah.
We are joined this week by a very silly boy guest, Danny Maupin. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. I didn't know I was going to be here, but now I'm happy to be here.
Well, why didn't you know you were going to be here?
We did abduct Danny.
Yeah. I was abducted. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry if he sounded weird. That's the sound a man makes. First words he says after duct tape are ripped from his mouth.
The original talk box. Duct tape.
I remember when I was a kid, one of the things my stepdad was very impressed by was he was like, look, this guy can make a guitar talk.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's a machine.
Yeah, it is just a machine.
Well, he just did them this video. This guy, which, first of all, can you guys guess one item of clothing that the guy from that video is wearing?
Fedora.
Yep.
Right. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. Oh, big time.
Holy shit, I can't believe I nailed it.
I've been going to Guitar Center a lot recently because I'm on the road with the band, and I hate Guitar Center, but they have Fender brand fedoras. And
they're nice.
they're nice.
And that's the first fedora I think I'm going to get. You know, I'm Danny, and I buy all my clothes at Guitar Center. So
the last time I went to Guitar Center, the guy behind the counter fully explained a South Park episode to me, like, without prompt. He's like, oh, man, like the full plot.
Was it a good one?
It was like a reasonable one. And I was like, oh, God.
Maybe we should do that on this show. I bet we'd have more listeners. We just were like, and then Obama won. Him and Hillary, they all like pressed an explode button. They blew something up.
The Guitar Center is the worst place, and there's so many of them in all across America. And
yeah.
I'm just visiting all of them for no reason for me. I don't have to buy anything there.
You think
the
Guitar Center
is the band?
You ever go to Recorder Center?
Yes, hot cross buns, Slays.
Yeah, that's like the sign says no hot cross buns.
It's Stairway, of course. Yeah, yeah. And of course, I'm a rascal, so I play it. You know?
No one's going to tell you what to do.
Not in Recorder Center.
So you're touring with the band. Who is this band you're touring with?
I'm with Mac Sabbath, and so they are a Black Sabbath themed kind of parody band, but they're
you didn't have to explain.
But
our audience has 100% crossover.
But like all of the lyrics are about like the demise of fast food and how bad it is and everything. So it's like horror, clowny Ozzy Osbourne meets McDonald's, sort of like Burger King, fast food, weird stuff.
And don't they dress like the McDonald's characters?
Full on characters, like they're Slayer McCheese.
Oh my God.
Nice. Grim Alice, the cat burglar, and Ronald Osborne are like the ones that do it. And it's insane. It's insane. It's like a giant party, and it's really, really fun. But it is kind of educational about how shitty fast food is.
Do they have any thoughts on the chicken sandwich debate that is sweeping
the nation? And by thoughts, Tommy means sexy chicks on Instagram. Do they have any of those?
Do they have any thoughts? Like THOT?
Yeah, yeah, right. Of course.
No, they have more THOGTHSs. Did I get it right? Did I get it right out of that? All right. They have more thoughts, actually, on fast food. They're all kind of, I mean, I can't tell you who the members are, but they're old and married.
But have they said anything about the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Has that come
up? We haven't tried it yet. We've been sampling.
Isn't that the
like,
number one thing you should be doing as a fast food themed band?
Right.
Right. Well,
but they're anti, though.
They're
right?
anti, but I'm the only one that's not it. In the band. Right. So I'm trying all the stuff. But like, I haven't run across a Popeye's yet. But this is boring.
Listen, no one who goes to Popeye's is running across. I'll tell you that much.
Wow. You're going to sit here and fat shame Popeye's people, huh?
No. Popeye's is delicious, but like every time we've run into a Popeye's, it's been at a gas station. And that's fine, but like the gas station hasn't run the special for the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
So
sure.
I've just been at a loss for the chicken
sandwich.
Well,
you're in luck, brother. You're in Brooklyn now, baby.
There's one like two blocks away.
I still haven't had it, though. I tried to go to a Popeye's at like 1 in the morning the other night, and I was like, this is the perfect time. There's not going to be anybody there. It was packed.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
It was
just
packed.
For the chicken sandwich?
I have to imagine. You know?
I agree.
It's pretty good
otherwise. I think
Wendy's
is the best spicy chicken
sandwich. I agree.
Sandwich.
I'm a fan of
the
Wendy's.
Without trying Popeye's, you know, I don't have
but
it
But you've
all.
Had the Chick-fil-A one, right?
Well, I guess not. No.
Are you serious?
I haven't had that one
not
either.
The spicy, but like just the regular.
Oh yeah, I've had the Chick-fil-A
the
regular.
Pickled. That's the controversy.
Does Chick-fil-A
right now.
Have a spicy?
Well, they do, but it's not like special or whatever.
Why
but
would
the
anybody think
one,
Chick-fil-A wants to be?
The Popeyes
spicy.
One. It's not about the spicy. It's just about the chicken pickles. It's the combo that Chick-fil-A has been doing for years.
So they're just competing regular chicken sandwiches. McDonald's tried to do
this. I think
this
so, right?
10 years ago,
I thought it was spicy, but I could.
I think they might also have a spicy one, but I'm pretty sure the fight over here is about just that they're doing a chicken sandwich with pickles. They're doing the same recipe as
right,
but with crispy chicken.
I mean, I grew up in Kentucky, so crispy chicken is perfect for me.
Yeah.
But making it spicy is more of a southern thing. Mm. Wait, I'm from Kentucky, and that's southern, but it's more southern than Kentucky.
Have you had it yet, Tommy?
No, I've just been reading about
damn.
It.
I have not.
I'm
had
not going
to
do
it. I want to try it. Let's
if
go
I
after
see
the
it,
show.
Yeah, well, it's right down the street.
Before we get we'll off this topic completely, can you give me one?
We won't.
Oh, okay, cool. Can you give me one Max Sabbath song title?
Yeah, they have like one called GMO Blind. Well, I can give you several. GMO Blind,
we
Frying
want one.
Pan. That's instead of Iron Man.
Oh, no, it's Frying
Pan.
Frying
Pan.
That's amazing.
They've got a ton of them. They're great. They're actually, you should definitely check them out. They're phenomenal instrumental. Like, they're great at musicians.
They're great at musicians.
They're great at musicians.
Yeah. They're great that at musicians. True. They're amazing musicians, and they have to wear these like incredible props that like weigh like it's like you work at Disney, but are also are playing Black Sabbath
at
the
that's
same
crazy.
Time. And they just nail it. Like it's really phenomenal, and it's hilarious and serious at the same time. You have to check it out.
At the end of the show, give your dates because that sounds like something very fun.
Oh, yeah.
See.
Sure, yeah. Give a bunch of dates on that kind of stuff. Yeah. And it's they're also on tour right now with Oakley Doakley, which is all like it's a Ned Flanders cover, like Ned Flanders metal band. Like all the lyrics are comprised of Ned Flanders quotes, but
sure.
They're original music metal band.
And do they address amazing. The problem with Apu or
no, they don't do that, but they do have a song called Donut Hill where they like really try to make somebody destroy a donut in the crowd, like a balloon donut that to destroy the idea of Homer.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty like involved. It's crazy how this stuff works. It's like kind of gore, but for like, you know, kids. It is. It's like all these shows are all ages, and like that's the coolest part about this.
Like Tommy's like, Tinder.
Right.
Like most of these shows are all ages, and like that's the coolest part about all of it is because like you'll see these cool like punk rock moms and dads that like love these old bands and stuff like that that like bring their kids. And so there's sometimes there are like 8 or 9 year old kids that you just like see like loving this new punk rock. And this sounds weird. I understand. But I like seeing like kids brought up like that because that's kind of how I was brought
up.
Sure,
sure.
You know, or it's not how I was brought up. I wasn't allowed to go to concerts until I was 17. You know what I mean? And if I had gotten that opportunity, I think my like horizons would have been more expanded than they are currently, but I had to find that stuff later. They just love it. And like the craziest thing is seeing like a 9-year-old girl like doing devil horns to like a fake Ned Flanders song. You know, I was like, all right, you're going to do better than me.
So you were just 17. We know what you mean.
Right. It's just exciting. What was that first concert?
That first concert
I went to?
Yeah,
at 17.
At 17, the first concert that I went to was the Foo Fighters and the Reverend Horton Heat opened up
Ooh.
For them. And then before that, it was, oh, God, there was some ska band that I can't remember, but I liked.
Yeah, but you were into it.
But I liked. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
which
yeah.
is the
but the Foo Fighters like kind of blew the lid off for me, and then I had to kind of like go backwards from there and figure it out. Not Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Felt right for 17.
They were more swing than ska.
Yeah, no, they're not ska.
We've talked about them. On the show. Unfortunately,
well, let's talk about them for the next 30 minutes or so. No,
wait,
we're here.
Cherry Pop and Daddies were Zoot Suit Riot.
That's
right?
correct.
Yes, of course.
Let's talk though. About Peter Frampton.
Okay, yeah, we can.
So you pitched Peter Frampton today because you toured with Peter Frampton. So let's get
a little background. This is a first.
Yes.
Actually, That's it's true. A second.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is a second.
Somebody else toured with Peter
but
Frampton.
This is very different.
Yes, very
So
different.
First of all, how did you start touring with Peter Frampton?
So, you know, I like to say in a past life, I was a musician.
Wait, you lived a past life?
Yeah.
Tell us what death is like.
I lived a past life between 2007 and 2009. No, I think it was like 2000. Anyway, years are wrong. But I was a musician before I started doing comedy. And in that time, at one point, we started to record an album in Minneapolis with a famed producer, Chris Kimsey is his name.
And he invented the Kimsey scale.
And if you look him up,
the Kimsey scale is you're just gay. There's no sliding at all.
It's one point. It's not really a scale.
And like, long story short, like he's done a lot of shit. Like he's produced a ton of albums, several Rolling Stones albums and stuff like that. But he was the live sound engineer and producer for Frampton Comes Alive.
Oh shit!
Right. And
it's
so
maybe the most famous live album ever.
It is. It like, is. Yeah. It's like it is the most. It's like 15 times platinum. Like
wow.
Like over. That means 15 million albums sold.
Yeah. Damn.
Like people used to call it like the Wheaties box of the 70s. Like it was just like you got it if you bought cereal. Got Frampton Comes Alive because everybody had it. And if you go to a record store, you can't stop finding one for a dollar.
Yeah.
Or, if not multiple at any used record store. They were just so, like, it was so wildly popular. But he was the live sound engineer. He mixed it all and produced it. And then, like, 30 years later, I'm in a band. And we end up recording with him. And he is the producer and the engineer for the recording process.
Does he have his own studio? It feels like someone would have made that much money could have their own studio.
He used to work in Olympic Studios in London, this was all in Minneapolis where we ended up doing this. And so in Minneapolis, we all lived in a house together and then recorded an album. And it was great, and it was so much fun. And he had told us about the Frampton stuff that we didn't know. He was telling us all these old stories that were like really romantic and fun for a bunch of young idiots that didn't know anything about stuff and music. And he just kind of told us like about Frampton. And so we started like fucking around with Frampton songs, like in between like doing our actual songs in the studio. And then we found one that we changed completely because like there's a song called I'm In You, which is
sure.
It's, I mean, whatever you want to do with the title, but I'm In You, and the song legitimately kind of sucks.
Should we listen to some of I'm In You?
Listen to Frampton's version. It kind of sucks. Might be able to find the old band version.
What was your band called?
This is where it gets embarrassing. Well, I don't think it's that embarrassing. Anyway, the band's name was called Very Emergency. That's
All
slightly
right.
embarrassing.
Why?
I don't like it, but
right, right. It's not amazing, right? This is, I don't like it either. It's a huge part of my life, and I don't like the name of the band. But I did it, and it was also part of like some of the biggest parts of my life. But yeah, go ahead.
Here's please. Some of I Am Marrying You. I remember this. Yes, you gave me the love, love that I never had. You and I don't pretend we make love. I can't feel. How's it make you feel? I like this part. I'm in you. Hell yeah. You're with me. Cause you gave me the love, love that I never had.
That's like the big. The big hook right there.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the hook, baby.
But that's all it is. It's kind of like him and a piano and a drummer.
Yeah.
And maybe a bass player. And it's not that interesting, and I'll be honest. So we, like, as a full band, kind of turned it into kind of like a Weezer-y Radiohead-ish song or whatever. Like, we changed it all but kept the lyrics and it made it work. And what happened is that Chris Kimsey liked it. And because we were just kind of fucking around and making fun of Peter Frampton in the studio, he liked it a lot and sent it to Peter Frampton.
Wow.
And then Peter Frampton said, come record it at my house with me in Cincinnati, Ohio. He lived in Cincinnati at the time. Damn. I think because he was married to someone in Cincinnati. I don't think he lives there anymore because that divorce
Joanna Skyline.
Right. the Skyline dynasty.
Yeah, dynasty, of course.
So we went there and recorded at his house, and then like he let us like have access to like his whole studio, and then Chris Kimsey like also came to like do that. So we kind of, that's my footnote in music history, is that I reunited the Frampton Comes Alive like engineer and Frampton together, and they did two more albums together after
that.
Yeah.
Wow.
We brought them together, and all we did was just like do some shitty like version of his song at his house that he liked, and then we released the album, and then legal rights happened, and then now that album cannot be found.
Damn.
So this might be a gauche question,
yeah,
but are we talking a Cincinnati mansion here?
Yes, very much a Cincinnati mansion.
Just a shithole apartment.
Cincinnati mansion, which is just
bad for you, Bill.
Two bedrooms, one basement, unfinished. Yeah, no, it was a really fancy place. Like it was really really nice, and he was like there to greet us when we came in with our shitty van, and we had bought all these records, just like the day before leaving. Like we're gonna get Peter Frampton to sign a bunch of records or whatever.
Yeah, oh, nice. So you sell them on eBay.
Yeah, and we were like, let's play it cool, right? We got to play it cool. And as soon as we got there, we opened like the back gate because everything was packed into this van, people and instruments. And as soon as we opened like the back door to the van, cymbals and like guitar equipment started crashing out, and then all the albums also spilled out right after.
Oh shit!
And Peter Frampton is the guy that like guided us in. So we're like, we were gonna be coy, but we want you to sign all of these right away, please.
They're just like shards of records.
Right. It was all pretty broken. Bad.
He just signed the van.
Yeah, it was a pretty disaster situation. But he let us hang out for the next 2 days.
Sure.
And then liked us enough, and he took us on tour. It was weird.
So what are you playing, like, huge venues? Like, what was it like?
Yeah, some of the venues were, like, really big, like giant amphitheaters, like 40,000 people.
That's
and
so
stuff
crazy.
Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry, what year did you say this was again?
This was, like, 2007 or 8, probably.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, it was a long time ago for me.
Sure.
I didn't do any comedy before any of this. Like, I wasn't doing comedy at the time. Obviously, I was definitely – I thought Frampton was going to –
change your life.
Show me the way.
All right, let's hear it. Hold on. Since you said it, now we have to do it.
That's the rule of the show.
Yeah.
there's ringing in my ears and no one to relate to save the sea. Who can I believe in? I'm kneeling on the floor. There has to be a force. Who do I phone? The stars are out and shine.
Pre-Yacht Rock.
Yeah.
In a way.
Sure,
with good guitar
sure.
playing.
On the intro to the live version, Frank can use a talk box, a device hooked up to his guitar that allowed him to create amplified, distorted vocal sounds with his mouth. A talk box is made with tubing connected to a compression driver meant to be part of a PA system. With the other end going into the performer's mouth, the unit is then hooked up to the guitar amp. The talkbox effect was a huge hit. Many musicians responded by buying one or trying to make their own. More than a few young people lost some cavities when they created faulty talkboxes and sent electric current into their mouths.
Oh, my God.
Wow. How do they know they try that?
How do they know they were young people?
Oh, these kids young were, people. These girls were young, buddy. No, they were young. No, That's true. I bet a bunch of old people did.
Yeah,
I bet
a
fucking
people.
I bet a fucking boomer wrote this.
A bunch of young people.
Those pieces.
Definitely
shit.
Lost some teeth.
Young people are smart. Old people are lame.
Millennials are killing the homemade talkbox right. talk industry.
We were gonna try to fashion a talkbox. For the episode, we thought it'd be funny to do one the whole time, but Tommy blew his molars out.
I looked it up online. There's one app on the iPhone that's called like the TalkBox app, and it costs money, and every review is just like, this doesn't work. I was like, well, I don't want to spend money to find that out also.
So it definitely seems like a thing that should be way easier to do.
Right?
Yeah. No, it's like a tube. Like the way it works is like a tube that goes up to the microphone. Like, it doesn't even go through your guitar amp.
Yeah.
It just goes through the outside PA system through your microphone.
Right.
And so it's sending the guitar sound through a tube that you move your mouth around to like, make those different, like,
it's very strange.
Sounds or whatever. And
that sounds like an instrument I could finally play.
Right.
That sounds pretty easy.
He's a master at it, for whatever you want to call it, but he's a master. He has a signature brand of TalkBox, and when we recorded it as a place... we didn't have something to keep the bass drum in place so it wouldn't move when the drummer was playing. And he just literally pulled one fresh Peter Frampton signature talk box out of a box and shoved it in front of the bass drum. And he goes, I got a million of these. And walked
and
away.
Goes, that'll be $39.95.
What is this place?
$39.95? You're talking $399.95.
Elvis?
Yeah, like, I got a million of these and just walked away. There was a broken Grammy in his recording studio.
That's so funny.
He didn't even care.
Damn, that is such a good, that would be a great TV show thing to have, like if there was a musician version of BoJack Horseman.
And you just went great. Peter Frampton.
That's incredible.
That's true, yeah.
I didn't realize, so the original studio version of this song was released in 75 on the album Frampton, Peter's fourth. At the time... He had a modest following and was building a reputation as a stellar live performer. What he didn't have was a hit.
That's true.
And, I guess that it wasn't until he put this live album together.
He really loves his own name, huh?
He does love his own name. Well, he was in Humble Pie before. That was like a really big...
Doesn't sound that humble to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But like he was on that when he was like 14 or something like that. He told me a weird story about like going out on the town with... like David Bowie when he was 14.
And who's
he had
that?
And he had to come back and explain to his mother why he got crabs. So David Bowie just did it for him.
Wait, what?
That's like insane. He was 14 out and went out in London, swinging London at the time.
Sure.
He's famous as hell at a 14-year-old. gets laid, gets crabs or
so
something
David
like
Bowie
that.
David Bowie just had to talk to his mom and be like, he's
and
fucking.
David Bowie had to go like, I took your boy out. This is what happened. Here we
That's
go.
That's crazy.
Nothing comforts a mother like David
right.
Bowie.
Right. Like, jump, magic, jump. You know?
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. And that was right before I shit in his toilet. That's my number one thing that
like
I love. I pooped in Peter Frampton's
what,
toilet.
What kind of toilet? Do you
there's no toilet paper. Use the Grammy.
Right. That's what it was like the three shells.
Here's a talk box.
Demolition Man. Yeah. Yeah, another talk box to wipe your ass, for sure.
This is the ass box.
You're talking out of your ass. Get it? And then he's like, you owe me
$400.
You know he tried that.
Oh, you're saying I'm sure he tried.
There's no way he didn't try it. If you have a talk box, you're shoving it up your ass at one point at a party,
right? And I don't mind to tell these stories out of hand because he scrubbed all my music from the internet.
So. No, I want to hear the whole thing. We don't have a ton of time to think, but I want to hear everything we
no,
got.
No, that's all
now.
I know is I think all the music's gone.
Sure.
And I think it's because of him.
Well,
so
he's a master
I'll tell
hacker.
You how he got crabs when he was 14 and David Bowie fixed it to his mom. So
yeah.
That's fair, right?
Sure. Okay. I think that's fair. Right. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah. He tells me stories. I tell you stories.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We fair?
We good?
We fair.
Now, these cats, on the other hand, they're big Frampton heads, and they're gonna report you to them.
That's okay.
Yeah. So, how long did this last?
This was like one summer of my life. That's all
and
it was.
When you were doing it, were you like into it? Were you like, this
well,
is
yeah.
actually pretty sick, and he's cool?
Well, because he is really cool. He was super cool. He was
yeah.
like a nice dude and like, really cool and like recorded. Like, I mean, he invited us to go come to his house. On us, like when we were kind of doing something as a joke,
yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
And
did
he,
and he think you were doing it as a joke?
I don't think so. And then yeah. all of a sudden, when he didn't think so, neither were we. You know what I mean?
Right, like, right, right.
We're totally down.
Were you guys like to each other? Like, this is crazy. That was a joke, or were you like, no, I actually always liked it. I thought it was cool.
Well, between the band, where I was like. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
It's more it was anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, what are we? And then like at the even touring and like all these huge venues and like, what are we, what we're going to go out and we're going to do our best, but what are we doing here? And it was great. And we knew kind of like we were sealing the nail in our own coffin a little bit because every time at the merch booth, we would go back and work the merch booth after our show, like after our set. And it would be nothing but like, moms and dads, like 50s or above,
yeah,
that, like loved Peter Frampton, and they'd be like, "I'm buying this because our son's gonna love you," and we're just like, "Nobody likes what their parents say.
No, no,
we're
no.
done. We're done.
That's so funny.
We've killed this for ourselves for sure." Yeah,
it was
terrible.
Also like bleeding people who see a sign that says emergency, and they're like, "Oh, there, that's where I'll get help."
Right, right.
And then you're like, oh,
yeah, it's true.
Merch.
Like we made a ton of money, like on at merch, and we're like, "This is the best tour we've ever done." And we're like, "Oh, wait, we're not gonna get this a second time."
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Damn, yeah. That is wild. Can you tell the story about? Fighting with him?
Oh yeah.
Oh hell yeah. So this is
guess,
yeah.
I don't
we got to hear this.
So at the weekend where I was where the band was recording at his house in Cincinnati, I got a prank pulled on me that really threw me for a loop. So anyway, so it's Chris Kimsey going back to him, right? And he's legendary. He's done so much work on like if you just look his name up like his the discography of production work or anything he's done is just every influential band from like the 70s and before. And I was so excited and I listened to everything he says. Right. And so he goes, go take this guitar and play it for this take. And I go, all right, yes, Chris, I take it. I pick it up. I'm playing. And he's like, that's not right. I keep playing. I'm trying to get it right. Finally start getting it right. I've got like my eyes shut. I'm like eating shit on this guitar that like was recommended to me. I'm like trying. I finally get it right, and halfway through the take, I like open my eyes, and Peter Frampton is like right in front of me, and he's really upset. Like, he was very upset. And I was like, what's going on? He's a little shorter than me, too. So I like had to like look down and see an upset man.
So he's a pretty small
guy. I'm 5'7", like on a day without gravity. You know what I mean? And this guy is like, he's like 5'5". You know what I mean?
Sure.
So he's looking up at me. And I'm playing one of his guitars, but I don't know what the hell. You know,
yeah.
It was recommended by his old pal and my old pal. And I'm playing it, and he's just and he's like upset, and he grabs my shoulders. And so I was like, shake my head, and I'm like, what's going on? And I grab his shoulders. And all of a sudden, we're like kind of tussling around the basement of Peter Frampton's house. Like, we're just kind of holding each other by the shoulders. And I just look at him and I go, what is going on? Like, you know, and he goes, shut up, and just rips the guitar off of me.
Like, oh, my God.
Finds the back, like a hockey move where you pull the jersey over the back. He just finds the guitar strap and, like, yanks it off me and runs away, pissed off. And I'm just, like, shaking, and I don't know what the hell's going on. And everybody in the control room where the, like, actual, like, faders are and everything is, like, cracking up, laughing their ass off. And I'm like, what happened? I just got into a fight with Peter Frampton. What is happening? He stormed away, and I walk in there, and they just start cackling. And Chris Kimsey, the famed producer, just holds up a cover of the most famous album of all time, Frampton Comes Alive. And it's the guitar
it's
that Frampton is playing. Frampton Comes Alive. And Frampton caught me. Like, he pranked me into it. Like, he had to go apologize to, like, Frampton for, like, hours for us to, like, continue to be there.
Oh, my God.
It was, like, all his idea. And I was like, why am I stuck in the middle of this?
That's so brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal. But, I mean, it was really funny to find out at the time. But it was like, well, I have no business with this. But how did I not realize before either?
Well, that's not your fault.
Right. I was just listening to
What do you think, Tommy?
Oh, no, I don't think it's your fault at all.
No.
Right. I was just listening to somebody that knows the business better. Just that was just fucking with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that he should have made it up to you by playing a little bit of this.
Suddenly the day turns into night, far away from the city. But don't hesitate, yeah, your love won't wait.
This version sucks. I think I picked the bad version.
There's a more popular version of it that was like covered by.
Whose choices of versions it was?
I didn't.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll play the better one.
Well, there's even a more popular version of it, like by a different band.
Of this?
Yeah.
Who's the band?
He had the platinum album. Because he got all the fucking songwriting credits for it. He was like,
moon appears to shine, but not the sky.
All right.
Right, that's enough.
That's enough of that.
That's enough.
We'll play the rest of them.
That was of course, one of his biggest hits, though. Like, I think that was his crossover hit.
Yeah, that's the one that I knew. I mean, I knew the first song too. But that one is the one that I think is like everyone knows that one probably.
Right.
Because like I remember Family Guy had him in the first early seasons before they got canceled. There's an episode where Peter hires Peter Frampton to play Baby, I Love Your Way, and you're like, oh, Peter Frampton's cool.
No, he's funny. He did, like, Colbert, like a guitar battle. Like, at one point, Peter, like Stephen Colbert on the old Colbert show said, mm-hmm. like, he was the best guitar player of all time or something like that, and could challenge someone to, a guitar duel.
Yeah.
And then he hired, like, the Cheap Trick guitar player with, like, the five guitars or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Colbert, like, hired Peter Frampton or something like that to, like, counteract him. It was really funny. He's like, a funny guy that's, like, down for stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very funny, funny dude.
Was he funny to hang out with?
Yeah, he was great to hang out with. Like, he was hilarious. I mean, like, that's why he told me all those stories about him getting, like, crabs at 14 and David Bowie, like, fixing it for his family and stuff like that. Like, he's a blast, and, like, he's down for everything. He just doesn't want you to play his famous guitar.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tommy, when are you going to fix it, this crab thing?
I thought you were going to explain to my parents.
I did, but I was just guessing. It's on songs that used in movies, song facts. The Baby I Love Your Way song. What a song.
Somebody, I can't remember, it was like a Blue Mountain something or something like that, covered that song.
Uh-huh.
Like, is it the reggae one? Big Mountain.
Yeah, that is a
Big Mountain version. Covered it, and like that was wildly popular too. But he had that platinum album in his house as well, next to his much bigger platinum album. Like,
yeah, that reached number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100.
Damn.
1993.
Yes. Yeah. That sounds damn. Right. Because
it is right.
In 1988, the group
right.
Will to Power had a U.S. number 1 hit with a medley of This and Freebird.
Damn. Wait, mixed? Like, it's Ooh, a Baby, mixed, I Love Your Way a medley, and Freebird?
Yeah, a medley hit number 1. And then Big Mountain hit number 6, yeah. Damn.
Wow. Damn. That I did not know.
Can you name the movie that this is on the soundtrack of? I'm going to say it's 94. I think it's the reggae version, actually. Yeah, the 94 version was in...
Singles?
No. Tommy, you got one?
The movie was in 94?
I mean, the version of this is from 94, so I would imagine it's probably 94, 95. Let's see.
Is this something we could get?
Maybe. the second word is something a vampire does.
Reality Bites.
That's right. He got it.
Something a vampire.
Well, vampires do a lot of things.
That's true.
They're
that's
much
true.
Like me and you.
Fly, disappear.
They go to work. Bets.
Yeah, they go to work. Yeah, certain work is, work is different for
vampire's
everybody.
Work is never done.
Lisa Bonet sings this song in the 2000 movie.
High
Blank.
Fidelity.
That's correct, sir.
What the fuck?
That. Hell yeah.
Peter fucking Frampton.
You bet.
That's
you
the
bet.
Quote from that, yes. And which I knew funny. All that before I went on tour with Peter Frampton.
Is that true?
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
I love High Fidelity.
Me too.
The book is my favorite book.
Yes.
The movie's pretty good, but John Cusack's character hates the song until he hears her sing it.
Wow.
Right.
The book version, do you know the song that they hate?
I can't remember.
Or that the guy hates? It's not... Or no, you know what? I'm mixing up with About a Boy. It's the Fugees. It's never mind. It's the same writer, different book.
Right. Yeah. It's Bruce Hornsby.
Hornby.
All
right, maybe it is Hornsby.
I'll get it right.
Whatever, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I've gone off track. Let's listen to another song. Let's hear Do You Feel Like We Do? We'll listen to the live one. Oh, wait, that's not.
You got to go. That's the one. You got to go
it's
way
so
deep
long.
In for that talk box. Oh, it's a long one. Oh yeah. God damn it.
Found it.
There it is.
This song is so. It's 13 minutes. No, it's almost 14. So the rest of the show will just be. It's mostly.
Back
in the talk. That's
good.
they do take their time. There wasn't the internet. You know? Things move slower.
We had phones.
You took your time.
If you want to look at your phone, you'd have to go all the way home. You'd just be staring at the thing all the way.
We mixed it up.
So long. Sorry.
You keep having it.
Well, no, it's these are different parts of the song.
I know, and then you'll get it. You'll miss it.
This is brutal.
This is it.
I know, it sucks. People were so dumb back then.
I love just like every time I hear somebody talk at the guitar, they're like aliens coaching together. They're like freaking out. And they continue to for the next 30 years.
All right, that's enough. Right. We heard enough of it.
Exactly.
It's hard to land that.
I know. Right? It was just funny that you didn't change once it's like, your face didn't change once it actually started. You were still just as mad as when it didn't start.
Didn't matter. It would suck.
Yeah, no,
I don't care.
But we had to hear it.
No, it's true. It's true.
You can't talk about Peter Frampton
without hearing him
hearing
the
part where he makes the guitar ask a question to the fedora man from the beginning.
Exactly.
That felt like looking at one of those like things on a dentist wall or the 3D things. You're like, all right, yeah, but what the fuck was the guitar saying? What was it? I didn't.
Do
you're
you
like,
feel
I guess
like
those
do,
are words. That sucks.
Do you feel?
It sucks.
Do you feel like I do? But you know, add a little something on it.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah,
man.
He was like a powerful live performer.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. In the 70s.
Let's see. Let's listen to a real song.
Yeah. Oh, it's a real one.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
Hello? Nervous and I just want to be alone today. Fuck you. That song sucks so much.
Put on a real song. It's not a bad song.
It was just in my recent history on Spotify from last week's episode. Okay, we should listen to Black Hole Sun.
That's right, the
Peter Frampton.
Every night on tour, he did a cover of it.
Really?
Wait, so every night he played.
Every night on tour, he covered Black Hole Sun. Like, I swear to God, Soundgarden is his favorite band of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, I read something that
Matt Cameron from Soundgarden plays drums on most of his albums.
Oh shit!
Yeah, yeah. So he played it every night. He never sang. No, he doesn't sing. Just the talk box. It's more fun. But it is.
The song is also just great, so it's hard to fuck it up too much. Let's see. Yeah, a lot of people are actually talking about it. So, we go to Facebook for this show. My Facebook friends had a lot of shit to say about Peter Frampton, which I was kind of surprised about. Joe List, who we saw yesterday, fun little hang, just wrote, he stinks.
Well, yes, he does smell bad.
Joe Quizzala, former guest, writes, he's got three songs, all off of one live album. They're fine songs, but that's all anyone knows. A Blip on the Radar. Damn.
A Blip on the Radar doesn't sell 15 million records, though.
Damn. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
That's a giant blip. And I agree, though, with Joe's critique. Like, yeah, he does only have a few songs, but those songs were not a blip.
Andy Sanford writes, the T-Pain of the 70s.
Yes! Yes!
That's a good roast, brother.
I love that.
That's good.
That makes me happy.
Let's see. Garrett Elzinger writes, one of the most iconic guitarists that no one ever talks about. Well, we're talking about right now, brother. And he talks about the Colbert thing. He posts the clip. You want to see the clip, go there.
Oh, great. Yeah. It was hilarious. Like,
George Gordon writes, I've seen him twice and both times was sick. Let's see. Kevin Frolics had a lot to say about him. He posts a bunch
anymore,
of clips.
You know.
Is that right?
He's on his last tour right now.
So really?
You're like not. Yeah, he's got like some sort of, let's give it up to Frampton.
Sure.
Got to give him some credit. He's done a good job for a long time, but hell. He's got some sort of like muscle disease.
Damn.
He's got to quit.
Is that why his voice sounds like that? He's got some sort of disease.
But like, yeah, he's on his final.
It's just like a cry for help.
This is while my guitar. This is while my guitar gently weeps.
Yeah, he covered this every night too. And there was like, it was an ode to George Harrison. He did a lot of shit with the Beatles.
Right.
I mean, he was a connected man.
He was in the Mafia.
At the time where he was at, he was in the London Mafia.
House and Nostra.
Which was comprised of George Harrison, David Bowie, Peter Frampton, and Tiny Tim. Yeah. He traveled.
I wanted to hear. So there's a. I gotta go to Facebook for this. A bunch of people posted shit that are like links and clips and stuff. But somebody posted a Mitch Hedberg joke that I actually really want to.
Yeah, because he was in Almost Famous with Peter Frampton.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Oh and shit! That's yeah. right.
He kind of had an Almost Famous thing with Peter Frampton.
Right, and that's about as close as it got for me. But
all right, let's listen to this. Go to Jared, and we'll give our reviews.
We put all six.
I think we did, actually. I think we've kind of skedaddled through all of them. This is Mitch Hedberg on...
Hey, you know what keeps me from acting? Fucking auditions. But I got to be in a movie. I had a small scene in a movie. But I got to act with Peter Frampton. He was in the movie. And we had to smoke pot for our scene. But it was fake pot. Do not buy pot on a movie set. But I got to smoke fake pot with Peter Frampton. That's a cool story. It's as cool as smoking real pot with a guy who looks like Peter Frampton. I've done that way more.
God damn.
Peter Frampton is a musical legend, but I don't know his music. So when you meet a legend and you don't know his body of work, you have to divert from that fact. Hey, Peter Frampton, do you like toast too? Yes, as do I. It's warm and crispy. And a perfect place for jelly to lay. Now stay away from me, Frampton. I ain't got shit to say to you.
All right.
Can I tell you Peter Frampton's favorite tour food?
Is it toast?
Raisin bran.
We no more playing Mitch Hedberg jokes on the show.
I know.
It shows how unfunny we are.
Yeah, I know. That was the best part of this whole episode.
It doesn't get any better than that.
All right. Let's listen to Jared and get the hell out of here.
Jared.
We've had a lot of fun, so let's bring down the mood with Jared's thoughts on Peter Frampton. If you don't know the segment, it's a little segment we call They Went to Jared. Jared's our friend and foe of the show who hates most of the things we talk about. Here are his thoughts on Peter Frampton.
What's up, y'all? It's This Week's He Went to Jared. The boys are going to have a guest on defending Peter Frampton. This is pretty cool. They've obviously already covered this up till now, but the guest toured with Peter Frampton, which is a really interesting insight into an artist that I don't think we've ever really had on the show before. Now, I'm 42, I think, 42, and, you know, probably a little young to have, like, automatically owned a copy of Frampton Comes Alive, but certainly there are millions and millions of them out there, and it maybe is one of the most interesting things in the history of music where he didn't necessarily have, like, famous non-live songs. Like, you know, certainly in that era, Zeppelin was, you know, a popular band in total number of albums sold, but didn't really have radio hits. And it's such an interesting, almost unique situation that a live album is sort of this touchstone in music, but the artist otherwise didn't really have a ton of impact. So I'm going to be really interested to hear about this, because I've always wondered what was it about this album necessarily that made him a star that maybe didn't translate to studio albums. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he had hits that were studio tracks that I just don't know about, but I don't think so. I mean, obviously we've all heard, you know, some of the songs from that album. Anyway, this is actually really cool. I'm excited to hear it. And not being a fan, I feel like I could probably learn a thing or two here. So, all right, thank you.
All right, that was Jared. We should wrap this up. Are there so before we give our final thoughts on the little playlist here, what are you, is there anything we missed out on here? This is open floor to you, Daniel.
I mean, I don't feel like we've missed out on a lot. Like, I love Peter Frampton. I think his music is exactly kind of what Jared was talking about. Very interesting and fun, and it's crazy to be like, I like the idea of being a live performer that doesn't translate into like some sort of singular like sell for the mass like audiences, but like your live performance does it, and that's attractive to me and fun, and that's, I think that's a good thing for a performer.
Sure,
you know, is so like sell out the place you're at, mm-hmm. and do what you do, but at the same time, like, I think he's fantastic. He's not going to be doing this much longer. I'm glad for the time I got to have with him, which is, I was breathing rare air, so I can't complain.
Sure.
So, yeah.
That's so cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
thanks for sharing this stuff with us. I thought that, like, reading about him, I didn't know that he was not, I didn't know that the live stuff was all he had, because I had heard Baby, I Love Your Way and stuff like that, non-live too. And I was mm-hmm. like, I like the, it was one of those things I never really delved too deeply into, but I did enjoy him.
Right.
I thought it was pleasant.
He's got a ton of hits, just none of them like were like number one.
But right.
Yeah, he's made like a great living. Like, and you can't listen to classic rock radio for 2 hours and not hear something.
Yeah.
He's done, you know.
I do like, I mean, I, Black Hole Sun's just a good song. It's hard with covers.
Right.
I'm going to go 4.5 out of 6. I Ooh, enjoyed it, though. High. Well, I do enjoy a lot of the music, especially the live stuff. But yeah, I just got annoyed with how long that song was.
Yeah, you seem so mad. I thought you were going to go real low.
No, I'm not mad at all of it. It's just that
one song.
It's
not Freebird long,
and it
but
was
it's,
like,
it's long.
14 minutes is fucking long, man.
Right.
And also, you guys seemed mad at me while I was skipping around, which was making me more stressed out while I was doing it. I don't think people realize how hard it is to scrub through a 14-minute song to find the right thing.
That's fair.
And also, the guitar barely talks. It's like talking. Come on. If your kid yes. sounded like that, you'd be like, this kid's fucked.
Right. I think that's why
talking.
He had so many extra, he could just give them to us at times. Yeah, he was like Johnny Appleseed for talk boxes at one point. Yeah.
Macman, what do you think?
It just feels... Do I feel... it feels like a 3.5 out of 6 to me. I don't hate any of it. I like the cover. I like the songs I knew. It was something I always heard on classic rock radio and never sought out on my own.
Right.
And it, I don't think I ever will do like a deep dive. So 3.5 just feels kind of right.
Sure.
Totally fair.
But I just noticed something.
What?
You're using the microphone I used for one of our good episodes.
Oh, no!
Yeah, Tommy was talking into that one. He had a hot riff.
Shit, this was the talk mic?
Danny, what do you rate the playlist?
The playlist, well, I mean, I love the playlist. I'm going to get it. The playlist, in all honesty, on like a musician's opinion.
No, you don't have to do that.
I'm going to give you a 4 out of 6.
I went the highest? That's crazy.
You went the highest? Well, and I'll be honest, like 4 of the songs are his and 2 of the songs are covers.
That's
so
the
that
thing is
sense.
I gave the covers like, yeah, full points.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, buddy.
No, I love
it. Anything
I'm
you
so
want
happy.
To promote?
Give those dates.
Blue Whale, baby.
Blue Whale, yeah. So like soon, I don't know when this comes out, but August 30th and 31st, I'll be at Blue Whale Comedy Festival in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Also be bringing the show Late Late Breakfast with my co-host Tyler Jackson.
Such a fun show.
Thank you. Well, you guys know. You guys are former co-hosts.
That's
ah,
right.
The family.
Yeah. No.
we'll be there. So come check it out. We'll be at historic Cane's Ballroom in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Saturday, August 31st, and enjoy us.
Will you be raising cane there?
I think I'll be raising some fucking cane.
and any more dates for the Max Abbott tour, because we were talking about it before?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to go on every city until September 8th. So the next ones coming up from this will be Montclair, New Jersey, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Then I'll be in Nashville, and then back out west from there on.
If you live in those places, go check out Danny's
great
performer.
He's fucking great, man.
And check out official Max Sabbath while you're at it, too, for all those tour dates and everything.
Yeah.
I will be in D.C. at the Big Hunt coming up. I'll also be in Austin, Texas at the Velveeta Room.
Ooh,
so come to that.
Cheesy.
I got some other stuff. So, you know, check that shit out. You know, Twitter, Facebook, all that good stuff. MacMan?
Friday, if you're in New York, I'm going to do in the last ever show at Karma Lab. Lounge that they're ending. It's been a show in New York for like many years, and they're ending. They're doing the last one. Past guests, Patty Monahan, Annie Lyuden, they host the show. It's going to be really fun. They did a really fun lineup, so I'm excited for that if you're in New
York.
Check
that out. I'm going to end the show here with the Dinosaur Jr. cover of Show Me the Way.
Ooh, I haven't heard
time
this.
To get to it. and also, check out the Patreon and keep it crispy. Bye.
Bye.